Smith to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4. Before we read that text, I'm going to read a verse out of Mark, chapter number 1. Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee one day, and he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting their net into the sea, the Bible says, for they were fishers. And Jesus spoke to him, and he said, come after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. It was a call into the ministry. And as a child of God today, we have that same call given to us. Brother Tim met a guy up here at the restaurant, and he witnessed to him. He was fishing. He was casting out a net, the gospel net, to him and trying to get him interested in salvation. And that's a ministry that's given to all of us today. And in Luke's gospel, though, chapter number 4, I want to look at some scripture here. And backing up just a little bit, you'll find in Luke's gospel, chapter number 4, Christ begins his earthly ministry. He was around 30 years of age, and he, you know the story, there were some years that are passed by that's just kind of silent, that we don't know a whole lot about Jesus. But we do know, according to Luke's gospel here, that as a child he grew and he waxed strong in spirit. He was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. Sounds like he had some good parents. Sounds like he was interested in the things of God from the time he was a child. At the age of 12, they lost him for a while, and they found him in the temple, and he was instructing and answering questions and asking questions of those that had been schooled in the law. And the Bible goes on to say that he increased in wisdom and stature and found favor with God and man. You know, it seems like he was in a period of growth and preparation for his earthly ministry. But here we'll find, as you go on, you'll find that John the Baptist comes on the scene. 400 years of silence had been upon the earth here. They hadn't heard from a major prophet in all these years. Then John comes on the scene preaching. And he was preaching the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, as the scripture said. And he said, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And as John was baptizing and preaching one day, he looked up and he saw Jesus come. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And Jesus was baptized there of John. Jesus wasn't baptized for the remission of sins. Jesus was baptized to show the world, show you and I, that one day he would be baptized under the wrath of Almighty God, that he would be dead, buried, but he would rise again and give life to all those that would believe upon him. It was a foreshadowing of the cross and of the grave and of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we see, as Jesus begins to go about his ministry here in chapter number 4, the Bible says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then it goes on, says, and being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it's written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up unto a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that's delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it's written, He shall give his angel charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for this day, Lord, for the blessings of life, God, that you've bestowed upon us. Thank you, God, for our church, Lord, each member, God, that you've placed in this body, Lord. God, we ask you to help us, God, to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God, Lord. Use us, God, for your honor and your glory. Open the Word of God to us tonight, Lord. Help us, strengthen us in the inner man, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, looking back into the verse that I gave you in the book of Mark, where he said, if you'll come after me, I'll make you to become fishers of men. To become fishers of men. Lets me know that there's a growing process. We'll never arrive in this life. Amen? No need to ever get the big head and think you've arrived, because he said, I'll make you to become fishers of men. We ought to be growing on a daily basis. Amen? And so tonight on this thought is what I want to teach on tonight. Following the minister of ministers. Christ is the one we must follow. If we're going to be effective, if we're not going to wind up in failure in life, in the ministry, we're going to have to follow Christ and follow this Bible right here. Amen? Now, I want to say something about ministry tonight. It involves the will. Amen? It is God's will that we be ministers. It's God's will that we serve Him. It's God's will that we put Him first. Amen? And God has a perfect will and a perfect plan for your life and for my life. God has a job for you and you and you to do in life. Amen? He didn't save us just to sit on the stool or do nothing. He said, we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. Hey, listen to me, friend. God has something for all of us to be doing up and about His business. Amen? Now listen, it's our duty to find out what God's will is for our lives. Amen? In Romans chapter number 12, a verse you're all familiar with, Paul says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, listen now, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a perfect will for my life and for your life, and He says that we better be seeking that will and submitting to His will. Amen? Listen now, not only does it involve the will, it involves our walk. In Ephesians chapter number 2, I believe it says, Be ye therefore followers of God. Amen. We ought to be following God. This book right here, it ought to be a guide in our life. And God must be first. If He's not first, friend, then we are failing. We ought to be seeking God's will, seeking God's walk. And not only that, this thing of ministry also involves a warfare. God told young Timothy to fight the good fight of faith, to be a good soldier, to endure hardness. Listen, this thing is a battle, friends. And that's part of what I want to focus on tonight, this warfare that we're in. Let me tell you, ministry is hard work. Ministry is a battle. But let me tell you, there's been too many Christian people to throw in the towel, to let the devil defeat them and to knock them out. But we ought to be good soldiers. We got to endure some hardness as we go through this life. We got to expect the devil to rise up against us. If you purpose in your heart that you're going to do something for God, the devil is going to rear up his ugly head. And he's going to come at you some way, somehow, and try to defeat you and knock you out of this thing. You're going to have to toughen up. Amen. Listen, let me tell you something. You're going to get your feelings hurt somewhere down the line. If you're going to serve God, you're going to get your feelings hurt. The devil's going to see to it. He's going to do everything he can to knock you out of this thing. But thank God, not only is there a warfare, but there's some weapons. Amen. God has given us everything we need to defeat the devil and to endure things in this life. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What the Bible says. We need to learn some things about our weapons. But back to the thoughts of ministry. I want us to look at what Jesus says about His ministry in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 20. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 20. Jesus speaking right here, He says this. But it shall not, in verse number 26 of Matthew 20, it says, But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Let me tell you, ministry involves humility. Amen? Ministry involves sacrifice. Ministry involves service. Ministry ain't about self. Amen? It's not about me, me, me. Jesus said, I came not to be ministered to. He was King of kings and Lord of lords, the God of glory manifested in the flesh. But He said, I came not to be ministered to, but to minister to you and to give my life a ransom for all. And if we put on the mind of Christ, as we're instructed to in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. We ought to be serving as Christ served mankind. It ain't about us. Amen. And we live in a day and age when it is, you know, that has a lot to do with man's attitude in the day in which we live. Me, me, me. Me, me, me. But we ought to be thinking about our fellow man, lost and saved alike. People have needs. They have needs to be ministered to. And our lives ought to be, friend, we ought to be sold out to God, putting on the mind of Christ, and be willing to do all we can to help our fellow man. Ain't you glad somebody cared about you one day? Amen. Ain't you glad there was a preacher somewhere that got on his knees praying, asking God to give him a word? He preached the gospel to you. You got under conviction, and you got saved. Somebody ministered through the gospel to you. May have been somebody that came to you and witnessed to you out on the job or somewhere. And God used them to get you under conviction and to get you to Christ. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Jesus in John 4 and 34 said, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. We got a work to do. And our will ought to be in agreement with His will. Amen? Amen. What can you do in ministry? What would God have you to do in ministry? It doesn't take a whole lot. Amen? If you're just willing. I've told it before and I'll tell it again. When I was lost, sitting at a card table one day, an old black preacher come walking up to the door where I was working, and I cussed him. I cursed him. When he walked in, other guys got up from the table and run. But you know, he went on back and he had a box he brought over to our lab up there. When he come back through, he reached in his pocket and had a little gospel tract. He said, I'd like to give you this. That's all he said. You know, I've got a packet of them things now. It's the very same one that he gave me. You know that thing, you open it up to the first page, it says, keep this. And that... When I opened that thing up, when He gave that to me, it said, keep this. I couldn't throw it away. God, I'm telling you, it scared me. It scared me. The Word of God scared me. But I got under conviction, and I got saved. Well, listen to me. First of all, I want you to notice this about the commencement of Christ's ministry. He began His ministry right here. And it was a countdown to the cross. As Jesus began His ministry, it would wind up at the cross, where He would give His life, that ransom for many, for the sins of the whole world. He was willing to be obedient to the will of His Heavenly Father. You see, God had a plan. And Christ was willing to give Himself a ransom to fulfill the plan of God for the plan of salvation for you and I. God had a purpose for Christ's life. God has a purpose for your life and my life. And He wants us to be willing to get into the ministry and do what He wants us to do in life. Listen, there's too many Christians today that are wasting their time, wasting the days of their life when they ought to be serving God and putting Him first in their life instead of serving self and serving the things of this old world. I know you got to work and make a living, but let me tell you something. Our forefathers had God in their minds. God was first. Amen. I can think back to some of them old saints of God that when I was a little old boy, when I went into church, they didn't have much on this side, friend. But they were willing to give anything and everything in their power to serve God. And they kept the fire of God burning at the house of God. That was so important. A burden for lost people. Oh, listen to me tonight. The commencement of Christ's ministry. The plan and the purpose and the preparation. The preparation. You know, if we're going to serve God, we need some preparation for it. Amen? That's why we have Wednesday night study time. That's why we have instruction and preaching. We have to prepare. Now listen to me. If you're going to go out on a job tomorrow, and let's just pick Brother Daniel. Brother Daniel, you want to be a heart surgeon. You don't just go up to the hospital and tell them, I'm here to do surgery today. You have to prepare for it. Let me tell you, if you want to be a good minister, if you want to be effective, friend, you got to get down and pray. You got to seek God. You got to get in the will of God. And you got to study the Word of God. You got to know some things. Amen? You got to know what God expects out of you. You need the gifts that God has to offer. Seek God for His gifts. Amen? Find out what your gift is and use it for the honor and glory of God. Let me tell you something. Not only did Jesus begin His ministry, the commencement of Christ's ministry, but you'll notice in chapter 4 right here, there's a confrontation in this ministry. A conflict. And, you know, we are a little different from Christ. The Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, not in this passage, but in one of the other Gospels, to be tempted of the devil. Not to see if he would sin. He wasn't tempted to see if he would sin. He was God. God cannot sin. But yet he was 100% man and 100% God. He would go and he would face the devil for 40 days and 40 nights and some. That he might win the victory, that he might pave a pathway that you and I could follow him when we're confronted, when we face the conflicts of the devil and the temptations of the devil. If we'll follow Christ, there'll always be a way of escape. Amen. We're not tempted above more than we can bear if we'll follow Christ. Amen. There's temptations that are common in the ministry. Paul, speaking to in 1 Thessalonians, I think it is, on one occasion, Paul spoke to him and said, I would have come to you time and again, but I was hindered by Satan. Satan is a real foe. Satan is a real opposer of everything we want to do in the ministry. Satan is not a man dressed in red with horns and a pitchfork. No. Satan comes in many different avenues and many different ways to hinder you in your service to God. I wonder if you could think in your mind, what's your biggest hindrance to serving God? Is it the devil? Or is it just you? Amen. There's confrontations that's common in the ministry. And Christ was facing some confrontations in these 40 days and 40 nights. But Christ leads His dear children on. In Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 1 it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." We're to follow Christ. We're to follow God. We're to follow this Word of God right here. And if we'll do that, we'll stay on track in the ministry. And we'll not wind up a failure in what God has laid out and planned for our lives. One day we'll stand before the Lord and give an account. Amen. Wouldn't it be good if we heard Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." What I want to hear one day. You've been faithful in a few things. Amen. Don't you want to hear that one day? Not only there's a commonness of confrontations and conflicts in the ministry, but Christ leads us through these things if we'll follow Him. And Christ conquers. This is what His purpose was in confronting the devil out in the wilderness right here, to conquer. That we could be more than conquerors through Him. Jesus, hey, when He began His ministry and as He went forth throughout this old world right here, He never lost a single battle. Amen? He didn't lose a battle right here against the devil, friend, but He laid out a pathway for you and I to follow that we might be conquerors. That we might win the battles against the devil and things in this old world. I know that Jesus, hey, He gives us victory over death, over hell, over the grave, friend, and over the devil. Amen. We can. Amen. We can. And not only that, Christ confirms some things to us over in Romans chapter number 8. Anybody ever just felt defeated? Discouraged? Doubt? The things that's just, the devil and the things of this life have just really got you discouraged and down and out. Let me tell you something. God still loves you. God is still for you. And God will still help you. Amen? Notice what the Bible says in Romans 8 and 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Make sure you're on the right track with God. Because He's for you. And then He goes on and says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Verse number 36. Let's make number 37. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." God is for you. God wants to be your strength and your help in this ministry, in these conflicts and confrontations of the devil. But let me tell you, if you don't keep your eyes on God, if you're not faithful, if you don't determine in your heart you're going to be courageous, that you're going to be diligent, that you're going to fight discouragement, you're going to fight doubt, you're going to use the Word of God, apply it to your life, then you're going to be defeated. But God has given us everything to confront Him with. Now, look at this now. Not only the commencement of Christ's ministry, the confrontation and conflicts of the ministry by the devil, of course. Not only that, but the challenges or the courting of Satan. Of Satan. I'll tell you what, these allergies is flaring up in me already. Notice this. Notice Satan's resources right here. You know, Satan knows just exactly what your weakness is. You know, the devil had his eyes on Christ. The devil wanted to defeat Christ, the Son of God. And he used every resource that he had to try to defeat Him. And you better know that he's going to use the same thing on you and I. But Jesus, you'll notice in these passages of Scriptures right here, Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. But Jesus did not use supernatural powers to defeat the devil. Why not? Because we don't have supernatural powers ourselves. But we do have access to the very weapons that Christ used to defeat the devil. And we'll get to those in just a few minutes here. Notice this. The devil wants to separate us from God, from the Word of God, from the house of God, from the peace of God. And he's working hard daily to do that. But notice these challenges, the courting of Satan. Oh, he's sly. He's clever. He'll come to you. He knows your weakness. And let me tell you something, friend. He knows what your appetites are. Amen? If you'll notice right here, he came to Christ at a time when Christ had been fasting for 40 days. The Bible says he was hungered. The man, Christ, was hungry. And the devil said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus answered him, said, It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, today in which we live, we focus a whole lot on the physical, the flesh. Amen? This flesh has got a lot of appetite for sin. Amen? And Jesus could have used that supernatural power to command that those stones be made bread, and he would have been out of the will of God. Out of the will of God. You see, God had him in this position for this purpose, to lay a pattern for you and I to follow, that we could be victorious over Satan. Now, these appetites of the flesh. You know, Jesus told his disciples one day, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. This flesh is weak. Appetites of the flesh. Your appetite may be assets, materialism. We live in a day of materialism. You know what? Solomon was a great teacher on this thought. Solomon, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, he acquired so much. He acquired so much in life. And you know, but he wrote in there that he said, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. He said, those that love silver will not be satisfied with silver. In other words, you can't get enough. If money is your God, you'll never get enough. You get a million, your eyes will be set on 2 million. You get 2 million, you'll set your eyes on 3 million. If money and material things is your God, greed will take over, covetousness will take over. You remember the story about Ahab and Naboth? Ahab had the kingdom. He was the king. Everything that he ever wanted was at his disposal. But there was a little vineyard next to him right there that belonged to an old poor fella by the name of Naboth. And he made himself sick wanting Naboth's vineyard. Covetous. And that covetousness led him to defeat, discontentment, and eventually to death. You have to watch yourself. Watch this flesh. If you follow the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter number 8. If you look in Romans chapter number 8, it has a lot to say right there about this flesh. I'll just read you a verse to it. I don't know if we'll get all through this tonight or not. In verse number 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Sounds like God wants us to walk after the Spirit. Sounds like God has something to tell us about this flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, there's a lot of good people in this old world today that's good moral people, carnally minded. They're leading their family in the pathways of death. Not spiritually minded. Got no thoughts on eternity and time. And they're leading their children down the path of destruction. Sad, isn't it? To be carnally minded is death. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You better be careful of your flesh. The devil looked at Jesus, realized he was hungry, and he went after the flesh with temptation. I wonder what your weakness might be. You know, there's things that don't really look that bad to mankind. You may have an affluence. You may want to rise to the top. Pride's up there at the top. Amen. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. Could be abundance, riches, acquiring. Could be alcohol. Could be drugs. Could be adultery, fornication, which is epidemic in our country today. People are falling after the flesh and the lust of the flesh. Got no mind for God. Could be anger. Worldly ambitions. There's so many avenues. I tell you what, we have more trouble with this flesh than we do the devil.
Yes, sir.
Guarantee you do. Sure. You got to keep your flesh under subjection.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
It's a job.
Sure.
It's a job. You got to put on the mind of Christ. The appetites of the flesh, but notice this, the appeal of the world. In verses 5 through 8. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Boy, this old world has got some things that just awe you. Amen?
Yes, sir.
You ever looked at something, boy, and you just think, man, I wish I had that. Wish I could do that. The devil will paint you some pretty pictures. Amen. And the devil said to him, all this power I'll give thee, and the glory of them, for that's delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I'll give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. You know, you're going to worship something in life. Amen. Everybody worships something. It could be your job. Could be your children. Could be your bank account. Or it could be God that gives all. He should be the focus of our worship. But the devil has always wanted to be worshipped. And the devil knows exactly what you lust after. And he's going to be sure to present it to you.
Yes.
And try to get you turned from worshiping God to worshiping the things of this world. He said, I'll give you all this, but you got to worship me. He tried to rise above the throne of God, but he failed. But he's still alluring men, women, boys, and girls today to get their mind worldly, off the things of God, and to worship Him. And He's doing a job. And then, notice this right here, not only the appetites of the flesh, the appeal of the world, but next, I want you to notice the altering of the Word. The devil likes religion. Let me tell you something. The devil don't mind you going to church. He don't mind that at all. He just don't want you involved. Amen? He don't want you involved in the ministry and in the Word of God. Notice in verses 9 through 12, he says, "And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it's written..." Notice the devil has got some scripture right here. He said, "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." But he omitted part of that verse, where the Bible says, "He shall give thee angels charge over thee to keep thee." If you look back in Psalms 91, it also says, "In all thy ways." In other words, in the will of God, He's made a promise to keep you. But the devil left that part out. He's good at altering the Word. Amen? The Bible says that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days, over in 1 Timothy, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You notice that the devil don't mind people going to church. And you notice that this passage right here tells me that the devil likes religion. If he can get you to change from, you know, this old King James Bible and get you something that doesn't really tell you the truth. And you know, that's what he was saying to Jesus right here. Tried to trick him. But Christ answered him and said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Christ faced the devil and he defeated him. Notice right quick, like, and I'll be through here. Those were Satan's resources. And he used them all against Christ. But notice Christ's resources. And the same resources that you and I have. If you look back in Luke chapter number 3, when Christ was baptized, it says, "And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying. And heaven was opened." Prayer opens heaven. Amen? That's a great resource for you and I. Prayer changes things. Prayer strengthens us. Prayer puts us in fellowship with Christ. And there is a throne of grace that God's given you and I that we can approach boldly. Not only prayer was a resource that Christ used, but also the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Every day of our lives, we ought to ask God to forgive us of our sins. "God, fill me with the Holy Ghost and power today to fight temptation, to minister, to serve you, to be a better Christian." The Bible says that Jesus, when he went out into this wilderness, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's a good weapon to use when you're going out to face Satan. Not only did he use prayer and the fullness of the Holy Ghost, but he used the Word of God. Every time that Christ answered Satan, he said, "It is written. It is written." I'm glad we've got a King James Bible of the written Word of God. Infallible, inerrant. It's powerful. It's alive. And God has given it to us as a great resource as we go through life. And something else that you and I have that's given to you and I. If you look in Romans chapter number 8, you'll find that we don't even know how to pray. But the Holy Ghost makes intercession for you and I. When we begin to pray, God has got His eyes and His ears open to our prayer. The Holy Ghost of God is praying with us. praying through us. And not only that, but if you go on a little further in chapter number 8, you'll find that Christ is seated at the right hand of God making intercession for you and I. What resources we have. Eh? Listen, we ought not to be defeated. We don't have to be defeated. We've got every resource and then some to be victorious in our Christian life. And you better know, just as Christ set out in the ministry, the devil had his eyes focused on Jesus to defeat him, to destroy him. He's the thief that cometh for to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to knock you out. Don't let him. Don't let him. It's up to you. God has given you everything you need to be victorious. Amen. Well, I appreciate your attention tonight. Jesus.